Rumpus time is over.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Luke's crazy.
Luke, the force is strong with you.
Did you hear that, Brian?
Luke, we're gonna have company!
Bad guys of the galaxy, beware! The defender of the universe is here!
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke Bryan!
One margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
Stop that! You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
Welcome back to Julian Tangents, everybody. It's Monday.
It is a Monday.
I'm Brian. That's Luke. I'm in Waukesha. He's in Madison. You're listening to us on Madison in the Solidarity Realty Studios, 1580 AM WTTN, as well as 92.7 FM W. That's Double Radio. I'm in Waukesha at 540 AM WAUK, as well as 101 FM. That's the Shaw. Yeah. You can check us out on the Double Radio app. Give us a call or a text at 844-967-2789. Hey, Luke, you ever worked out to the point where like a limb or like something doesn't work as well, or like do legs and then you're trying to walk the next day and it's like mush your muscles, that type of thing? You ever experienced like your muscle being used to the point of exhaustion?
Way to put me on blast. I haven't worked out in a little while, but yeah, I know what you're referencing.
I haven't worked out in a while either, but yes. You know what I'm saying. I'm not, please.
Hey, I played volleyball and softball last week, and I'm anticipating doing it again this week. But yes, I understand what you're talking about.
So during the opener, sometimes I like to, do eyebrow raises as like my dancing to the song. Elastica lends itself to that.
Yeah.
I remember doing like when I was like, you sit in the front of the mirror and do like, try and train your face to make different faces and you use your eye. I did that for a while. I don't know if anybody else did, but I did so many eyebrow raises one time that I made my eyebrows not able to raise for the rest of the day. So like my eyebrow just kind of just drooped.
There we are, folks.
And I was thinking about that on the way in because it was really funny to me. I thought it was hilarious.
There you go.
So yeah, I'm picturing myself doing eyebrow exercises until they fall down, until they droop.
Until they can't do anything else.
Honestly, that kind of absurdism is needed now because... Yeah, latest headline.
The headlines here in Wisconsin are a little dreary, Brian. The weather
guess
over the weekend was interesting. It was kind of rainy throughout the week.
I did not find that interesting.
No, but the headlines are very similar because, we hear more and more of these reports of extremist violence. And we hear these stories that seem to be, you get shocked more and more by them. But if you're paying attention, you already heard the update from the headline on Friday night. It broke right before the weekend, going into the weekend, Brian. But a Juneau County man, retired judge, was shot and killed. He was assassinated in his home by an individual that had a list. It's being referred to by law enforcement agents as a targeted act against the judiciary system. And the individual had more individuals on his hit list.
Yeah, including Governor Evers, Governor Gretchen Whitmer in Michigan, as well as Mitch McConnell.
Kentucky from Senator Mitch McConnell.
But I don't think he planned it out completely because he took his own life in the...
Well, I
seemingly.
Believe he's in critical condition still.
Or attempted to take his own life.
Yes. It seems to be, according to law enforcement reports, that is, he is in critical condition at a local hospital up in the New Lisbon area, about 90 miles northwest of Madison, about halfway between Madison and Eau Claire. It's where this incident took place on Friday last week. And so this individual is in critical condition after doing this targeted act. He fulfilled this targeted act, and the details are pretty grim, Brian. And it's a pretty shocking story. And I think you can't look at it as an isolated thing, though. We have more and more reports of this type of violence against systems like the judiciary. And some of the first takes I saw on Friday night was, well, it's a shame that we didn't take the threats against Governor Gretchen Whitmer's life more seriously last year. That a lot of these threats of violence made against politicians in both Michigan and Wisconsin and seemingly Kentucky as well, but the bomb threats that were made on January 6th, we're going to find more out about the political violence that was made at the Capitol on January 6th. We're going to be having hearings of those coming up later this week, Thursday night.
We'll be carrying those live here on this station.
Yes, but this you can tune in 7 p.m. on Thursday evening for the first of the January 6th Select Committee hearings. They're going to be broadcast live on Devil Radio and the Shaw. But the increased political violence is pretty staggering, Brian. And so let's get into a little bit of the details. But because you also found an interesting piece over at Politico, and
I did.
There's
a lot here, and I want to jump into it because we have a lot of things to get to. Again. This shooting goes under the same type of category that a lot of other things do. And a couple of researchers, 3 years ago, Jillian Peterson, and I'm reading this from a Politico piece, two professors found what creates a mass shooter and will politicians pay attention? Because we always talk about mental health, mental health, mental health, and this is evil and this is violent and things like that.
It's society's fault.
Well, that's the point, is that it is society's fault. Because if it is, then we at least acknowledge that this person is part of us. But if you say mental health, you get to other that person and make it seem like it was some defect or some evil that took over. And that's kind of where this is going here. 3 years ago, Jillian Peterson, an associate professor of criminology at Hamline University, and James Densley, a professor of criminal justice at Metro State University, went in. They compiled detailed life histories on 180 shooters. Again, like I said last week, one of the wonderful benefits of having so many shooters is we have a lot of research.
I wouldn't say wonderful benefits, but one of the outcomes of the current approach
I speak facetiously.
I know, it's a little tongue-in-cheek from you, but I think one of the outcomes of the way that our country and society here in the United States has decided to approach this issue from does tend to lead us with more information because we do have so many of these shootings, Brian.
Yeah. So here's some of their findings. Mass shooters study other mass shooters, they said. They often find a way of relating to them, like there are other people out there who feel like me. They say there's this really consistent pathway. I'm again going down into the piece. Early childhood trauma seems to be the foundation, whether violence in the home, sexual assault, parental suicides, extreme bullying. Then you see the build towards hopelessness, despair, isolation, self-loathing, oftentimes rejection from peers. That turns into a really identifiable crisis point where they're acting differently. Sometimes they have previous suicide attempts. What's different from traditional suicide is that the self-hate turns against a group. They start asking themselves, whose fault is this? Is it a racial group? Or women, or a religious group, or is it my classmates? The hate turns outward. There's this quest for fame and notoriety. And they said that, I don't think most people realize, and this is huge, these are suicides in addition to homicides. Mm-hmm. Mass shooters design these to be their final acts. When you realize this, it completely flips the idea with someone with a gun on the scene is going to deter this. If anything, that's an incentive for these individuals. They are going in to be killed. It's hard to focus on the suicide because there are horrific homicides, obviously, but it's a critical piece because we know so much from the suicide prevention world that can translate here. And then it goes on, Politico asks, I've heard many references over the last few weeks to monsters and pure evil. You said this kind of language actually makes things worse. Why? And I've been saying this for a while now.
Yeah, this is something that you said when you try to dissociate the two, you dissociate the shooters from society, that it allows you to just be able to critique that rather than actually critiquing society, because if it's a monster, if it's somebody out, an exception to the rule of how society normally operates, then we can downplay it the way that we have in a lot of instances. Because one of the points that I've made in covering the shooting, since from Buffalo to Uvalde, to there was, I believe, an additional there was double digit mass shootings over the weekend.
That's just weeks.
There were shootings in Philadelphia, Chattanooga, Phoenix, just this weekend alone. And so because there are so many of them, we go numb to the issue. We don't talk about it as much, and we find that despair. And when you do, a lot of that is because of that dissociation, Brian.
Yeah.
And so why is it important that we don't do that?
They go on to say, if we explain this problem as pure evil or other labels like terrorist attack or hate crime, we feel better because it makes it seem like we've found the motive and solved the puzzle, but we haven't solved anything. We've just explained the problem away. What this really problematic terminology does is prevent us from recognizing that mass shooters are us. This is hard for people to relate to because these individuals have done horrific, monstrous things. But 3 days earlier, that school shooter was somebody's son, grandson, neighbor, colleague, or classmate. We have to recognize them as troubled human being earlier if we want to intervene before they become the monster. And they go on to say the Buffalo shooter told his teacher that he was going to commit a murder-suicide after he graduated. People aren't used to thinking that this kind of thing could be real because the people who do mass shootings are evil, psychopathic monsters, and this is just a kid in my class, right? There's a disconnect. You have to understand why these people are here. And you've got to also remember that Uvalde only has one guidance counselor for all those kids.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming they're going to have a little bit more thrown their way. But most places don't have the equipment or the ability to even... You talk about mental health. Most places don't even have enough counselors. They're sharing counselors among the entire school district. Multiple schools for one guidance counselor. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, and the problem as well in some people's approach is the individual in Tulsa that shot up the hospital last week. He was a law-abiding citizen until he went and fired the gun in the hospital because nobody wants to talk about the fact that he was able to go and purchase that weapon and then go to the hospital and commit the act of violence that he committed because in a lot of people's scenario, he was law-abiding up until he started shooting at the hospital. It was totally within his rights to go and purchase that firearm and have no waiting period, no nothing, and then be able to take it and commit mass violence at a hospital in Tulsa, Oklahoma last week. And so, yeah, we definitely need to change the way that we're talking about this conversation.
The important thing to remember is that if you narrow down to just one thing, you're losing the point. It's a multiple-level solution, and it's going to take a while to fix. And that's what people don't want to hear, but you're going to have to do something actually concrete to fight this issue.
Multiple things concrete. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. Give us a call, 844-967-2789. Luke and Brian. I'm Luke. That over there is Brian. You're listening to us on Devil Radio 92.7 FM in Madison, as well as the Shaw 101 FM in Waukesha, and always wherever you are on the Devil Radio app. You can join the conversation, share your tangent by giving us a call, sending us a text, 844-967-2789. And so, Brian...
You know, this song goes out to Tim Michaels.
Yeah, we're going to wrap up, and as we'll be continuing to following the Department of Justice's investigation here in the state of Wisconsin into the shooting at the New Lisbon house of a retired judge here in Wisconsin. I'll be giving more updates on that. But we got some signature updates to give, Brian, because last week, as people may have recalled, the filing deadline, June 1st, for candidates to get on the ballot here in the great state of Wisconsin, ahead of the August 9th primary. And along with all the filing deadline stuff that was going on last week, Brian, we also had an endorsement come in from the former guy endorsing construction CEO, construction executive, whatever the titles are that he holds over there at Michaels Corporation.
You have daddy issues? I have daddy issues. You're a self-made man given to everything by your daddy? Yeah, I do that too. Do you live in a place where you don't actually vote? Yeah, absolutely. They totally get along perfectly. Go Tim Michaels, go Donald Trump. They're best friends.
Yeah. So the former guy endorsing Tim Michaels in that Republican gubernatorial primary which I was a little shocked by. We broke it here on this show. We were talking about it as soon as we confirmed with a couple different sources that that was what was happening at the end of last week, late on Thursday afternoon. Late in the show for us on Thursday afternoon. But now we got a new update, Brian, to share with the folks about the Tim Michaels campaign for governor. Because it seems like there's a little scrutiny of the signatures that he submitted with his
Wait, there's paperwork. Issues with paperwork?
Paperwork, the filing.
Again, this Trump similarity gets more and more perfect. It's great.
It's there. It's there. You can definitely make the comparison if you're one to do so, Brian,
see,
as you are.
See, just by comparison... Peter Pekarsky, he's running for U.S. Senate.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he's running Democratic primary. He comes in and he does ads here. You can hear them on this station, and I produce a couple of them, a lot of them actually.
Yeah.
But he comes in, and last time he came in, he said, "Hey, would you mind signing my? I want to get on the ballot. Would you mind signing so I can get on the ballot?" And he himself, as the candidate, handed me the thing. And I signed it, and I filled it out. It doesn't necessarily mean I'm going to go one way or the other, but he's the only one who's ever asked me for my signature.
There you go.
But he himself did it. I wonder how many signatures Tim Michaels himself oversaw being done. I wonder if he did any of that himself.
Well, I'm curious, though.
Or asked anyone personally.
Somebody on the campaign team is going to be having a little bit of a hard day today, Brian, because thousands of the signatures that he collected to be nominated to get on the ballot for this fall are being contested now by a citizen here in Madison. It's a Madisonian that is contesting it by the support of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. So DPW chair Ben Wickler came out yesterday and announced that the party was going to be backing this citizen's contesting of thousands of Tim Michaels signatures to get on the ballot because they don't have the correct mailing address on his nominating forms, Brian.
Do you remember... Do you remember like a whole bunch of candidates in the Milwaukee? I think the mayoral primary just couldn't get on the ballot.
It was county executive.
County executive, that's right.
It was the county executive. Yeah.
Like three or four people got taken out all at once because the idiots all used the same signature company or whatever.
Well, they were using the same group
to go and get all the signatures, and they just copied them all and just said, signatures for all of them at once and just copied them all.
They went to the same place, I believe, if I recall correctly, from the Milwaukee County executive race that occurred. The multiple campaigns used the same contractor to go and collect signatures, and they happened to collect signatures at the same places, Brian. So it wasn't necessarily all that they had all the forms with them at the same time, but what happens is you, as a citizen, Brian, can only sign nominating papers for one candidate as well. And so that was what happened there. There was multiple signatures. The same people signed multiple nominating signatures in the Milwaukee County.
My point is there's been recently issues with signatures. Can we all figure out how to get these signatures? And if you can't get the signatures all together, maybe you shouldn't be running for governor.
Well, I think if you want to be the sticklers to how things like nominating signatures, absentee ballots, things of that nature are filled out and submitted.
Oh, yeah, because if I go down to the end of my driveway, hand you my absentee ballot, and
I put it in the mail.
In the mail, it's illegal.
It is
illegal. If I put it in the mail, it's fine.
Yes.
But and these people are willing to go and litigate to the hilt for that. But Tim Michaels got some screwy signatures, and no, it's fine. He's a good kid. He'll just let. That's fine. Governors always do those kind of things. That's the kind of person we want in a governor that can't even figure out how to get his own signatures done.
To be fair, I'm sure he's got a number of different addresses that he's trying to bobble around as he moves back to Wisconsin from Connecticut. It's probably a very difficult process to go through, Brian.
Being a native Wisconsinite from Connecticut,
But that is the problem. He left his mailing address off, and so they're saying thousands of signatures. If the complaint is taken seriously and it goes through the Wisconsin Elections Commission as it is slated to go before them at this Friday, June 10th meeting, he would only have 345 valid signatures, far short of the 2,000 signature threshold needed to be on the ballot. So it's going to be interesting to see what the bipartisan Wisconsin Elections Commission rules on this one.
For the record, I want him on the ballot. Like, I want to see him on the ballot because the chaos that will ensue afterwards is going to be wonderful. but again, like, if you can't get this right, what's wrong with you, dude?
Yeah, somebody wasn't, you know, crossing all the T's and dotting the I's
like,
over at
Michael's. Were a consultant. You should know these things, and if you hire the consultant, they should get that done. Like, does that mean you're poor management? Like, you're a poor manager, like you, like the Republicans in the legislature who can't manage their own contractors? Are you a poor contractor, Tim Michaels? Because if one of your crews did something horrible, it'd be under you. But how would you deal with that? Are you really good at that? Because again, this doesn't show like you're really good at being a governor.
Good questions, all for the Michaels campaign, folks. You're listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. Got a number of other Wisconsin headlines we're going to be diving into and taking your calls and tangents. 844-967-2789.
Welcome back, everybody. It's Luke and Brian here on Dueling Tangents. I'm Brian, that's Luke over there. He's in the Solidarity Realty Studios at 1580 AM WTTN, as well as 92.7 FM Devil Radio. Give us a call, 844-967-2789. I'm over here in Waukesha, WAUK 540 AM, as well as 101 FM The Shaw. And just want to throw this song out there. This is going to be the new opener for any of the new shootings from here on out. It's going to be sponsored by Duff Beer, so whenever you do experience a tragedy, you can drown your sorrows in Duff Beer. Tragedy brought to you by Duff Beer. This is going to be, it happens enough that there has to be sponsors at this point, right? They have to get, like, this latest tragedy brought to you by Duff Beer. Am I getting too dark here? I mean,
you're in a very dark space on
Monday
morning, Brian.
We are living in the... Like, right here, can you believe it? In like, coming in hard, like, tragedy. Brought to you by Duff Beer. Tragedy. Right? Right?
I don't think we're quite there yet.
No? Am I too soon? I'm just ahead of my time. Is that it? We're going to be so desensitized to this, there's going to be dancers. Welcome the tragedy dancing girls! All right. Huh? Nothing. And they have, like, mournful, like, you know, interpretive dances, and they all wear, you know... all black dresses and stuff like that. It's like, you know, really mournful and stuff. Everybody cares a lot, but by showing it, by having beer sponsored tragedy events.
I don't quite understand it. I guess on how we can be so numb to it. It is frustrating, and I know you're looking for some humor to get out of the...
No. I'm taking this from reality, because right now, tragedy, we discussed this last week, the tragedy in Keel, Wisconsin, where a Title IX investigation was successfully shut down by bomb threats, because a town of 4,000 people were held hostage by people calling in bomb threats, to the point where a Title IX investigation about using gender pronouns or not, which, by the way, isn't a criminal investigation, it's just an independent investigation by regular investigators, it was shut down. And instead of going, wow, it was a tragedy that we got shut down because of a bunch of terrorists and things, and we couldn't, you know,
acts
litigate
of
this through
terrorism, yeah.
Because calling of domestic terrorism, we shut this down. We couldn't litigate it through the judicial system, like, you know, adults.
I don't even think it's a judicial system, honestly.
Litigating through any sort of independent adjudicator.
Yeah.
But, you know, hooray for us, we won. Because that's what Will did.
Well,
hooray for us, we won. Those three kids, they get to be bullies. Good for them. They say they won. Yeah. They won because. Tragedy.
And what Brian's alluding to is, we got a headline over the Wisconsin Examiner: bomb threats and harassment investigation into students misgendering. Will celebrates win. And the Will there is referred to as the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, conservative group here in Madison that goes and finds the culture wars and provokes them. And Brian, it was very disheartening. The fact that one of the deputy counsel for the Wisconsin Institute Law and Liberty, I'm going to dive down to the piece by Henry Redmond over at the Wisconsin Examiner, because I think the quote is a pretty telling. So the response from Will and its leadership following the investigation's close diverges from how the group responded to previous threats from people associated with a different political point of view. Last month, a group threw a Molotov cocktail through the window of a Madison-based anti-abortion group's office, starting a small fire and writing a message on the wall. Following the incident, Will President Rick Essenberg wrote on Twitter that defending these types of actions makes somebody a jerk.
Hey, wow. So what a bunch of jerks over at Will.
That's what Will's response was to the violence, the act of vandalism. That word was escaping my brain on this Monday afternoon, Brian. But the act of vandalism that took place in May at that office, they referred to it and they condemned that. But this is what Deputy Counsel Luke Berg for Wisconsin Institute and Law and Liberty had to say about the Title IX investigation being shut down in Keele, Wisconsin last week. We are pleased that the Keele Area School District has finally ended its misguided Title IX investigation. While the district's statement attempts to reframe the investigation, it was always primarily about mispronouncing. The district may not be willing to admit it publicly, but it is recognized that it has no legal basis to demand that our clients refrain from mispronouncing other students.
So you have no problem saying in public that your clients were mispronouncing and also bullying the person in question. That's great.
They're telling on themselves because they essentially said, oh, well, regardless of the fact that you've closed down the Title IX investigation now, we're just going to tell you that, yes, our clients were mispronouncing a student in the Keele Area School District, and we can continue to do it now.
Congratulations.
Because we took this case to the national right-wing media, and they had six bomb threats come in over the course of less than 2 weeks that pretty much immobilized the entire city of Keele because they canceled school, they canceled graduation, that is still delayed to the best of my knowledge, they canceled
Yay.
Memorial Day festivities.
Yay, says Will, as long as they win.
So that is what the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty is saying about the decision.
Didn't even mention that this was a tragedy, that something happened, that anything bad happened.
No, didn't reference the violence at all. The bomb threats, not mentioned in that statement.
It's like Aaron Sorkin making an entire thing about Moneyball without mentioning that they had pretty much two or three Hall of Famers on their pitching staff. But anyway, you know, don't worry. The Oakland A's were just magically really good because Scott Hatterberg could get on base. Or it could have been the Hall of Famers and their pitching staff. I don't know. Maybe Miguel Tejada maybe could have been mentioned at all. But anyway, my thing is maybe you could have mentioned, I don't know, the bomb threats that shut down the investigation, and not because they found in your favor, you jerks. And using your own lawyer's words, you guys are jerks.
Yeah.
Because if you're celebrating this type of thing, you're jerks.
Yeah, according to the president of Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty. So we got a couple of callers lining up, Brian. Let's get over to the phone lines. We got our friend Bill in Oconomowoc calling in first this afternoon. Bill, what's on your mind today?
Kind of what you're talking about directly. I'm going to be redundant for until the elections are over. We got to get these guys to check one box. Protect kids, protect guns. You got to make a choice. I want to ask Rebecca. I want to ask Michaels. I want to ask all of them. Who are you going to protect, guns or kids? And if you check kids, tell me how. We've had enough of these idiots. I don't even think they're valid anymore. I mean, some of these guys, I don't think are worthy of us even listening to because they're so radical. And kind of what you're talking about now is right-wing extremism.
Yeah,
that comes from the FBI, not me. So anyhow,
Bill, you're breaking up.
Yeah,
man.
We're breaking you up there
a
little bit on the connection there. But it will be to be determined whether or not we're going to hear from Tim Michaels because, you know, if the Wisconsin Elections Commission decides later this week that those signatures he submitted are indeed not valid, he's not going to be running in any primary anymore. He's going to be off the ballot.
Again, like I said, I would prefer him on the ballot. I think it makes the
Brian's popping his popcorn.
but I'm more – but again – if you can't get something that basic taken care of and you can't seal yourself off from criticism that basic, what are you doing, man? Anyway, 844-967-2789. Let's go with Mark from the SAC. How you doing, man?
Yeah, you kind of ripped me away from some of the thoughts I had. So this group is not decrying the act of violence that caused the city of Keele to shut down this investigation. They don't say boo about that. I mean, and I don't know, did they ever come up with a perpetrator on the vandalism at the anti-abortion facility?
I don't know. And some small group claimed responsibility.
An online group claimed responsibility, but authorities here in Madison and I believe federal authorities have yet to be able to corroborate that claim. Yeah,
but either way, that too is stupid. I'd rather have them shut down because of their own, you know, we have no support, rather than we got firebombed. You know what I mean?
Precisely. I mean, but this, you know, as somebody who was bullied when I was in school, I mean, for various things, you know, not, you know, that I am not gay, but I mean that back then it was, you know, everybody was calling, you know, he's calling people and all that kind of thing. And this is back quite a while ago now. Decades ago now, it was bullying back then. And so the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty is approving of bullying. I mean, that, well, you know, the kids, a lot of the kids these days are a lot more, to use the phrase, woke than we are. I mean, because some of the stuff doesn't matter to these kids, but for some of these kids, if you're in the bully mode, you're going to pick whatever kind of way you can victimize people, they're going to do it. And the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty is defending the bullies. They're defending little jackasses that think they can bully other kids.
Yeah, and I mean, basically all you had to do, and thank you for your call, Mark, I appreciate it, but, you know, all you had to do is just say, hey, don't don't talk to that kid. Leave the kid alone, stop bullying the kid, and move on.
No, the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty didn't want the school district to be able to intervene and say that, though. They defended the three eighth graders that were insisting that they could use whatever pronouns they wanted, and rather than actually allow the school district to do the investigation and find out if it equated to the level of harassment,
which again
they took it to
they never got to that point, because again, these things are thorough. They have to talk to everybody involved,
right? And before that investigation could be completed, they took it to the national right-wing media, and they got it so they ginned up the individuals that were willing to threaten violence so much that six bomb threats essentially shut down the city of Kiel for numerous days.
I don't think anyone wins when that happens at all. CJ from Madison, how you doing, man?
Great. How about you guys?
I'm all right, man. What's going on?
Well, again, we're living in a Democrat world, and it's only okay if Williams' grandson has whatever gun he wants to have responsibly.
What are you talking about?
I love the fact you guys actually care about signatures now, actual validated signatures for the Michaels campaign, but you've had a problem with the investigation looking into signatures in past campaigns.
I didn't. We actually brought that up at the same time, if you were listening at all, man. If you were listening at all, CJ, earlier, hold on, CJ. We actually talked about this earlier. We brought up the fact that during the county executive race in Milwaukee, there were some signatures that were, they used the same group of contractors to get all their signatures. And like idiots, they used the same contractor, all three of them, and they got what they deserved off of the ballot. I said the same thing then, and I'm saying the same thing now. If you can't do something as simple as get your signatures in and get them right, then maybe you shouldn't be running.
Do you believe in voter ID?
Not the way you're talking about it, buddy. You have to give your ID to even register in the first place.
There you go. There you go.
CJ. What are you talking about, CJ? You have to bring your ID. You have to prove your ID to register in the first place.
Hang on. If you cared about voter ID so much, why was it a coordinated effort that voter ID all of a sudden came about in 2011, 2012? Why was it never a concern before? You went decades and decades without the need to provide an ID to vote in this country. And it became a coordinated effort right around 2010 to 2012. Can you tell me why that is?
Because your party has campaigned on it for that long. Remember when?
Hey CJ, what do you have to do to hold on. When you register to vote, you have to show ID? When you register to vote, do you have to show ID? When you register to vote, do you have to show ID? When you register to vote, do you have to show ID?
Loading up buses.
All right, you don't even want to hear it.
He's not even talking about it. I will let you know, CJ.
Loading up buses. Loading up buses? What the hell are you talking about loading up buses? What are you talking about loading up buses?
I'm not going to deny that. I suppose you're not old enough to remember that. Or
what the hell are you talking about, CJ? My God. You just believe anything that you hear on right-wing radio? Or just like, yeah. I don't have to look it up. I don't even bother.
The caravan. The caravans are coming, Brian. The caravans are coming.
Think of the logistics of that.
No, like, Americans.
Okay, if you wanted to go and bust 30,000 people in to make the difference for Biden and Trump, which is how Biden won over Trump because Biden won the election, think of the logistics of bringing 30,000 people here by bus, you idiot.
Americans for prosperity, Brian. Americans for prosperity.
I can't take your calls anymore. I can't take your calls anymore, dude. You're done.
He's spouting out those Americans for prosperity talking points because that is when the Koch-backed group started pushing voter ID around the nation.
I bet you he was happy that Keel, Wisconsin got shut down.
They partnered it up with the Tea Party movement, and that is why we have voter ID. Not because anybody's concerned about elections, because they're trying to prevent people from voting. Folks, this is Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. We got one more segment left in the day. Plenty of time for your calls. Unless you're CJ, but...
Bye, Clay.
We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is... Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Luke. That over there is Brian. You can join the conversation. Share your tangent with us. 844-967-2789. The spewing of the right-wing talking points, Brian, without any actual filter or personal spin on it. Like, he doesn't really share any of his point of view.
Here's the dumbest thing.
He just likes to spew.
I know we're dueling tangents with Luke and Brian, but, dude, we were talking about shooters, and we were talking about three bullies misgendering people to the point of the entire town being shut down because of bomb threats. And this jackass calls about signatures and then talks about buses coming in here and illegals voting. Let's move on. Let's talk to let's talk to Jeannie from Eau Claire. How you doing, Jeannie?
Hallelujah. Thank you. Finally, I haven't listened to that kind of crap for the last, quite 10 years. And it was unbelievable, the lies nonstop, and you couldn't even break it up. And finally, somebody kicked his butt, because it is very stressful for all of us who believe in the truth to listen to him every single program during the day, call up and start spewing out the lies without anybody saying, you're accountable for these gall dang lies, and we're not going to listen to it anymore because we're sick of the gall dang lies.
Yeah, we're
I'm really proud of you.
I'm tired of being the nice guy all the time and going, well, what is your point of view? Well, I think the sun is made of purple things, and we should all deliciously eat cheese because cheese is the god of the world, and we should do all the... I'm going to pull whatever comes out of my butt from an authoritarian figure that I would, you know, and basically I would wish was my father, because I don't like my father in the first place, because most of them don't really have a lot of daddy issues. But anyway, the point is, I'm tired of giving them equal weight, as if they have any sort of like as if he's bringing any value to the conversation. At times I've seen him actually have a rational conversation, but when I ask him, hey, do you have to bring ID to register to vote, he moves on to the next talking point about buses. It's not a conversation, it's just repeating of crap. Please continue, Jeannie.
I'm just saying thank you, because it's just awful to have to listen to it. And I know you guys are kind, but God darn it, you know, it's enabling a liar. So it's about time to say the lion's got to stop here. He's going to keep it going, and he's not going to learn anything new because he keeps spewing his lies. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You guys have a great day. You made my month. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you, Jeannie. Doing what we can, Jeannie. I'm just being me. I mean, look, you want to talk about voter ID, you have to put your ID in and make sure you are a real person in order to register to vote. In order to actually have your vote counted, it has to match a registration. So unless you have a bunch of registrations to match, it doesn't matter how many thousands of people you bring in. They can't vote, and they won't be counted unless it's matched to the registration where you had to bring your ID in the first place.
I'm starting to think that he's getting paid to do this, Brian.
Oh, of course. He's got to be. Either that or he's just such a loser. He has to sit there and listen all day to things that he hates and disagrees with. I don't know. Either way, even our most like A1 listeners don't listen as much as he does. It's crazy. Him and George, the stupid troll who never gets airplay. But anyway, let's go to Wisco Paul.
Yeah.
How you doing, Wisco Paul?
Hey, good afternoon. God, I love Jeannie. She's so cool.
She's awesome.
Yeah, she always gets to the point, too. But the one thing you didn't mention, well, there were several things you didn't mention. Voter ID is not the worst thing, but what's really bad is you can't have drop boxes. You can't get absentee ballots counted the day of election. You have to delay that until, you know, after the...
They delay it, and then they complain about the delay as if it's some magical thing that somebody did to them, which is what they told them to do.
Right.
Good job.
There were proposals they put out there saying, let's count them beforehand, and that way we don't have to do a late-night drop, but they're like, no.
They're so mad at things and so willing to jump on whatever talking point they have, they don't even recognize when they've been set up by themselves.
Yeah.
Well, it's like mail-in voting. It works in different states. They don't want to even talk about it.
And so, again, you have to match it to the registration. Also, if it doesn't match the registration, guess what? It doesn't get counted. So if you don't have the registration, this is what the jackass doesn't ever tell me about. And I'm thank you for your call, Paul. I asked him about how does this voting fraud, the voting in the park, oh my God, it's fraud. How does the fraud work? Because it has to match to a registration. How do you match it to the registration? Tell me how you get it from the Dropbox to match to the registration. How does that work? Can you tell me? No, you can't because you're making it up. It's coming out of your butt. Hey, Don, how you doing, buddy? Don in Madison, how you doing?
Hey, CJ's not getting paid because I work with a bunch of CJs at the United States Postal Service, and they all wear blue uniforms and they carry mail. I remember when Walker, no tax for tracks. You guys might not have been around here, but when Walker was passing on the high-speed rail, that was the tagline, no tax for tracks. They used to walk through a line of mail carriers. That's all they were saying, no tax for tracks. And then the one guy says, and all these people got bussed in. I said, I couldn't hold my breath anymore, so I said, hey, how long would it take to bring that many people in to vote? I said, one, you'd have a line a mile long of buses, and I said, two, if everybody knew they were voting, why didn't somebody call the police? They stopped talking. So that's what CJ does. But he throws out the thing at you guys, and you guys defend. And that's what Republicans do. We got to kick them in the balls first. You know, that's my tagline. Kick them in the balls first.
Appreciate the call on the tagline, Don. I think that is a big part of what CJ's plan is he wants to get us riled up and talking about it. But I think it's also important to have these conversations because, like you say, there are people out there
of you are dealing with somebody like this in your workplace or somewhere around you have to ask them these questions like, how does the fraud work? Mm-hmm. No, seriously, keep telling me, how does the fraud work? How does it work?
If Michael Gableman's so good at his job, why has he spent so much money of taxpayers' money and gotten nothing?
So you must be pissed off at Michael Gableman then if you believe
it. You must be very angry at Michael Gableman.
If you believe in fraud because he hasn't proven any of it. But who's Michael Gableman? Well, then why are you yelling at me? Why don't you go and research your own crap? Real quick here before we go, I just want to note it is Pride Month. And you know, lest you think that, why do we need Pride Month and things like that? I don't know. Let's think about this. World Cup match just last night, Ecuador, Mexico, was shut down because the entire crowd was shouting anti-gay slurs at the goalie, even though they were warned not to and they were asked not to, and they'll shut down the match because of it. Way to go, World Cup. Way to go, Chicago area soccer fans. Way to go, show them how awesome you are with the anti-gay slurs. Also, just want to throw out there that the Tampa Bay Rays, five players decided they didn't want to wear the logo on the side of their uniform or on their caps because
for Pride
it was hard. And here's what their manager had to say. First and foremost, I think the organization has done a really good thing to have Pride Night supporting our gay community and to come out and have a nice night at the ballpark. Impressed that our players have had those conversations. We want to support our players that chose to wear or chose not to wear to the best of our capabilities.
Good
and
people
someone
on both
brought
sides.
Up Jesus. Someone brought up Jesus because, you know, who would Jesus exclude? Way to go. Way to go, Major League Baseball. Could it be because Ron DeSantis held up a practice facility for $35,000 because of your support for gay pride?
$35 million.
Oh, $35 million.
Yeah.
Very good.
Folks, this has been Dueling Tangents. If you missed any portion of the show, go check out the podcast. We'll be back tomorrow at 2 p.m. We will talk to you then.